Good morning, everyone. Happy Sunday. So it's a beautiful, cold day, full of frost on your cars. You know winter's almost here, so this is a new season. What is God going to do this season? We have a few announcements here this morning that we want to just go over. Men's movie night continues on this Thursday at 6 o'clock. So come on down, even if you haven't been to one, still come. I know they would love to have you. Tuesday night, the Women's PM Bible Study. Peggy said this morning, she was here at 8, and she said that there is a Zoom link. So if you guys would like to be involved in the Bible study but do not want to come on Tuesday nights or can't come live, if you are interested, to contact Peggy and she will get you that Zoom link for that. Christmas party looks like so far still women's ministry Christmas party is on the 16th. I don't even have it in my bulletin. So what day is it? December 2nd?
Yeah. Whatever that Wednesday is.
Okay. The first Wednesday in December. How about that? masks will be required, but come on down for some fellowship. And I'm sure Lisa has some theme that she'll reveal soon. It'll be exciting. And another thing Women's Ministry is doing is the ditty bags for the seafarers. That Lisa's going to tell us about.
We have 30 bags, backpacks and ditty bags. And what we're going to do, and here's part of the fun, is at the Women Ministry's Christmas party, we are going to, as one of our mission projects that night, is going to have a fun assembly line. And we'll take everything you bring that is on this list. So when you're shopping and out and about, have this list with you. And if you see things, you can buy just a couple or a bulk. Margaret and Rachel walked in with a whole bunch of sample toiletries for everybody, and we're going to mix and match and really bless the people on the ships by filling 30 of these up, and that's going to be part of it before we do our delicious eating and celebrating and gift exchange at our Women Ministries party. And also, we are saying masks are required, but if there's any reason that you cannot wear them, we will accommodate you. I'll have my face shield on. But spread the word that this is what we're doing for December, and then they'll be delivered to the seaports in Boston, and we're just going to have a blast. They'll be fun, and wear your Christmas sweaters. We'll really get out there. Dave, did you want to come too?
No, I don't, but I want to participate. I just wanted to know where you want the idols.
So there's bins downstairs in the Potter's house. We'll just fill those up. They overflow, set them around, and we'll keep up on that. So that's where you want to thank you for being part of that. We will do a mitten and hat tree like we've always done, and the jury's out on whether we'll do a Christmas cookie exchange like the olden days, but we're going to roll with the punches and go with the flow.
All right, and have a little Christmas fun while we're at it. Today, the boxes are due for Operation Christmas Child, so if you forgot yours, bring them back, because they're getting ready to pack them up. When are you? All right, so you have a few days, because Brenda's going to deliver them this week, so if you still have one, please bring it back so she can get it in on time. All right, so let's join together and praise the Lord this morning.
Finding my shell. worship you, our God and King.
And bless your name forever and ever.
Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
His greatness is unsearchable.
The might of your awesome deeds shall be proclaimed.
And people declare your greatness.
We celebrate your faithfulness.
pray. Oh, Lord, we just praise your name, Lord. You are Creator, King of all that is. Help us in our weakness and our short-sightedness just to understand that greatness, the wisdom, the understanding that is so beyond us. You are in the cosmos of it all, setting the stars in place and the earth where it is and the sun how it shines and the moon by night. You have given to us all things, everything we could possibly need. You have already given to us. Help us to seek just that, Lord, to be yours so fully that we come to a new place in our lives. You are such a wonderful Father, so faithful to the people, all the people, the ones you've already called and the ones you are going to call. We just thank you, Lord, that you remain faithful and true. In you there is no shadow. There's no fading. You are brilliant. And you are the brilliance of our lives. Be with us as we pray the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. First reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 20, and it's found on page 812 in the Pew Bible. Now, the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." Next reading is in Philippians. And that is on chapter 4, verses 4 through 9, on page 955. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you." This is the word of the Lord.
right, children, come on up. Come one, come all. Come from near and far.
Commission, and it's when Jesus told his disciples, go and make disciples of every nation. And when I was reading about this scripture and messages to give to kids, it was tell the kids to make an invitation and invite their friends to Sunday school. And where can they go and tell people about how Jesus loves them? And I thought, they can't do those. Go as many places as we're used to being able to go, right? And a lot of people, you can invite them to Sunday school, that's always a good idea, but there's a lot of people right now that aren't going to new places and aren't trying new things right now, right? So I thought, how can I tell these kids? What can we do to still do what Jesus asked us to do? Go and make disciples. But then I read the second scripture that was read today, and it's actually one of my very, very favorites in Philippians. And there, Paul gives perfectly clear instructions. He says, let your gentleness be known to everybody. Rejoice. Don't worry. How many of you know some people that are worrying a lot right now? Is anybody worrying a lot themselves right now? But he said, don't do that. Pray. Give it to God. Pray. And when we give all that anxiety over to God, God's peace will fill us. And that's how we can go and share the love of Jesus with others, is because when they see our peace that God gives us in this time of anxiety and worry. And then he says to whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think of those things. So even when things aren't going our way, even when we're missing the activities that we used to get to do and we want to get back to, and when we're not getting to spend time with our friends and family the way that we want to, he says, what can we do? What good things can we think of and focus on? What can we be thankful for? Where's the joy? Where's the commendable things? Where's the excellence? And something we always say in Trailblazers is there's always something. If you think hard, there's always something we can praise God for. So that is how we can go and make disciples, because when people see that we're not going to focus on what we can't do, but we can focus on what we do have, our families, our houses, our backyards. Maybe you're making new discoveries because you're getting to spend more time in certain places. Let's focus on those excellent and praiseworthy things in each other and in the gift that God has given us. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you that you tell us we don't have to worry. We can give our worries to you, and you will fill us with your peace that transcends all understanding. Lord, I pray that each one of these children can experience your peace, and Lord, that you would open their eyes to all of the things that are true and excellent and praiseworthy and commendable that are around them and in them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you join me in prayers of the church? Heavenly Father, we just come before you right now, Lord. We come and we just lay at your feet, Father. We praise you, Lord, because you are a good God. We declare that with our mouths, Lord, even when things around us may not seem good. But we stand on your word and your promises, Father, and we will continue to walk in faith, and we will continue to declare your goodness, Father. And we know that you are present with us in every moment, and we know that you hear every one of our prayers, the ones that we bring forth with our mouths, and the ones that we hold dear in our hearts, Lord. So, Father, I come before you and I lift up my brothers and sisters to you, Father. And I rest in knowing that you will hear our prayers and answer our prayers in your perfect timing. Father, I lift up Bob and Carol, Liz's brother and sister-in-law, who are battling COVID right now. And I lift up Lucille, who is also battling COVID right now, Father. I ask for your healing hand to touch them, Lord. Touch their lungs and make them whole. Ask them to just surround them with your love and your comfort and breathe your healing breath right into their bodies. Strengthen them. And Lord, just show yourself ever present where they are. We lift up Steve Jones as well, who's in the hospital dealing with pneumonia. Lord, we ask, we know that you are present in that room, and we know your hand is upon him, Father. So we ask for continued healing, Lord, as you already are touching him, Lord, but we ask continued healing so that he will be made whole. We lift up little Addie to you, and we ask for your continual hand of healing, Lord. We thank you and we praise you that your hand is upon that child. We thank you, Lord, that you are opening ways for her and that you have a perfect plan to restore her to perfect health, and we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the continued healing with John Bukovich and his hand. Lord, you are so good, and you are just beyond what they expected, Lord, and we praise you for that, that your hand has been upon John from the moment of his accident and all the way through, and we give you the glory, Lord, for all that you are doing in them. We lift up our sister Millie to you, Lord, and we thank you that you are preparing a way, that you are making everything that needs to happen work perfectly together the way it should in your perfect timing, Lord, so that her surgery may happen and her recovery would be quick and speedy. We thank you, Lord, that your hand is upon that situation. And we lift up our sister Sue and her family, Lord, and they still mourn the death of her brother David. We thank you, Lord, that you are present in that situation. We thank you for your hand of comfort that is on her and her family. And we ask that you would continue to wrap your loving arms around them, giving them peace and filling them with your love, Lord, as the next days come forward. And Father, we come to you with heavy hearts today as we lift up the family of the tragedy that happened in Plymouth and Terryville, Lord, as we don't understand and we don't know why. And it weighs heavy on our hearts, Lord, because it's a tragedy that makes us all just grieve so deeply for that family. So, Father, we ask that you would pour out an abundance of your presence and your comfort to them, that you would strengthen the girl that is in the hospital right now, Lord, that you would heal her, that you would reveal yourself to her, that she would know who the true God is, that you would bring peace to the rest of their family and peace to their schools and everyone that has known them, to their community, Lord, that you will use this to draw people closer together and closer to you. And Father, as we lift up all these prayers to you, and we may not understand why things happen and why things don't, and how things may look in our natural that are not the same in the spiritual, Lord, we find rest in knowing that you hear us and that you're ever present. So I ask, Lord, as we wait to see your hand work these things out, that you would strengthen us, that you would help us to be an encouragement and speakers of hope to all of these situations, Lord, that we would proclaim the power of heaven in each one. I thank you, Father, that you are faithful to hear us. I thank you, Lord, that you delight in your children and you so desperately want to be a part of each one of our lives. I thank you, Lord, that you are here and you will always be here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Ever since when I first came to God, gave my life to God, I've been more at peace and more open. And that many know, when I had my back surgery, I was scared, because I always get scared before going any type of surgery. And I saw myself sitting in this garden with God, and I asked him why I was there. He told me he needed to fix me so I could continue his work where he needs me, where I need to be. And ever since then, I thank him every day for fixing me. I thank the surgeon for God putting the surgeon that fixed me in my life. I'm just so grateful to continue his work where he needs me, and I did be obedient and continue his work with where I am right now. We're working with the children. And I'm just really grateful. I really am. And one good thing is I don't feel his presence anymore. I don't feel the enemy no more. He has no more grasp on me. And it feels like I just stomped him out completely. He tries and tries and claws, but it doesn't work. I said, not today. Can't deal with you. I have other things going on. I need to focus and stay focused with God. And I'm proud to be a child of God. I really am. Sorry. Thank you so much.
Hey, Gary, I want to ask you one thing.
What's that?
You had a second dream or vision of Jesus with you in the garden. What did he, just if you could share about that briefly.
I only see the garden when I'm sleeping. And I saw God leading me by my hand, didn't know where he was taking me, but he just looked like a normal person, just saying, come on, you got to go, I need you here. And ever since I've been on my path, it feels like he just wound me up and keeps me going. I cannot stop. I really can't. And I'm proud to keep working, and I'm hungry for more. I really am. Thank you again.
God who sees my sorrow, catches my tears in a bottle. You're still worth me.
there is a God.
What a wonderful promise. There is a God. Well, when we have home repairs, you know, things break at the house, water tanks and other things, and have a disposal put in or dishwasher, you know, we go to Paul. He comes in and he fixes it. If I have problems with yard equipment, lawnmowers, leaf blowers, we go to Lenny downtown. We all have somebody that we go to. And you know what? People call on some of you when they need stuff. You want cookies? You know who to call, right? Thanks, Brother Glenn. But for repairs, you know, we all have somebody that we go to. And yeah, you know what? People are looking to you and I for help, maybe not just of what we can provide services, but maybe about our faith. We know that our world is in trouble, and even more and more each day, and there's nothing new under the sun, but boy, 2020 is something. And our world is in trouble. We cry out to God. We want His help. We want His help. Where are you, God? Revive us again, God. Where are you, God? And we know He's present. We just want to call on Him for help. But you know what? You know who He calls on to help our troubled, broken, grieving, ailing world? He calls on you. He calls on me. We are His vessels. We are to go. Jesus said, go. I'm with you. I'm with you. My presence is with you. Our mission will not fail. Jesus has a church. He wants to bring His heaven on earth kingdom reality. And you are the answer. You are the answer. And me as well. That's wonderful that God would trust us. So living by faith in Christ, learning to practice the presence, you know. Is God with me? Is he with me? Is He present? We need to discern that. This is our strategy. You are the answer. Not distracted. We are available. It's practicing the presence of God. You know, so how we face our daily routine is important. How we start the day, how we face the challenges, the relationships, the storms, everything, it's important. So I don't know how you do it, but, you know, how do you start your day? Well, a lot of coffee and a devotional, right? Amen to that. But it's got to be more than that. Practicing the presence of God. A term coined by Brother Lawrence. He's got a book, Practicing the Presence of God. It's a short read, very good, very powerful. But here's something that he always prayed. Lord of all pots and pans and things, make me a saint by getting meals and washing up the plates. He was a monk that had he had the hard job. He was a poor dishwasher and a cook in France, 17th century, in a monastery. But what a heart. You know, prayed, and he had that spirit about him. You know, you see people that have such great joy. They're doing awful things, you know, the hardest jobs. But there's a joy of the Lord on them. A couple of those brothers are there on Thursday nights. They're the ones in there washing the pots and pans and singing a tune. And the rest of us are going, boy, that's an awful job. I wouldn't want to do that. No, everybody helps out. But he wrote that he came to the point of, Brother Lawrence, always keeping his mind in God's holy presence and recalling as often as he found it wandered from him. You know, it takes practice. You know, we're thinking on something and we're all of a sudden down some rabbit trail thinking about something else. It was a discipline, a spiritual discipline, practicing God's presence, a biblical idea. At heart, it means discovering. Discovering, maybe there's some ways we can do this. Discovering and developing the habits, doing them over and over and over again for discerning an awareness of God's presence. We're walking through a hard, rough, challenging time. Winter isn't even here yet. But developing and discerning for God's presence. He's with us. He's with us. He goes before us. So we need to develop that. God's word is clear that a constant awareness of Him is important. I am with you. The Lord promises, I am with you. Call to me. I will answer you. I'm with you. I'm with you. Do you hear me? I'm giving you little pictures and little promptings. But it doesn't happen automatically or by default. It requires our trust. It requires a bit of training. You know, these disciplines, how do we build them in? It is intentional. The key truth that Brother Lawrence and others latched onto is that all of life is lived in the presence of God. Whether we are aware of it or not, God is present all around. As much as all the air is all around us, the air we breathe, that is the presence of God all around us. There is no part of it, nothing too mundane or ordinary that isn't permeated by Him. So we can be sensitive, we can be in tune with, you know, as best we can. Because otherwise, how are we going to be a follower? How are we going to be discipled and taught ourselves? How are we going to go and make disciples? Well, Gary had quite a vision there, and that's why I wanted to share that second part. The Lord has been meeting Gary in a garden. And as often as he asks, and Gary will keep asking, Lord, meet me there again. I want to see, but he's taking him by the hand. And you heard it. It said, go, follow me. That keep it going, Brother Gary. We thank God for you. To be present to God in all things. Another way of saying practicing God's presence. Just to be present to God in all things. In our work, in our worship. Wonderful songs and opportunities for worship today. Thank you, worship team, and all who are singing. Well, to be present to God in all things, we need to do three things. We need to change because we're so overworked and so overextended. That's one. So we need to limit distractions. That's two. And we need to build into our daily routine spiritual disciplines. And we'll look at a few of those and maybe practice a little of that at the end of the service. So let's take them one at a time. So are you one that's trying to do it all? You're overextended. You've got your day scheduled out every 15-minute increments. I don't know if we have any over-the-top type A personalities here, but, you know, the world is frantic enough. Depending on your life stage, you know, you're running hither and thither and yon. You know, you're going everywhere. And life can get like that. I've had periods of my life when it's been like that. Some days feel like that. I don't know how it is for you, but we have to be careful of being overextended, overscheduling, because then we will not be a vessel of God's presence. We will not even become aware of God's presence. All we have is that next thing on the list, that next thing to do, and it leads to burnout. I hope none of you are in the midst of burnout or have ever had that. Hopefully you never will. There's ways to prevent that. There are four stages of burnout, but just the first one alone is physical, mental, emotional, exhaustion. Have you been there? Yeah, I think we all have been there. That's the first stage. It just keeps getting worse and worse. So what are you going to do about it? We've got to set healthy boundaries, learn to say no, and build margin into your life. Just one quote here. I think we all know what margin is. He has a good way of phrasing it. A Christian doctor, Dr. Richard Swenson, says, margin is the space between our load and our limits. It is the amount allowed beyond that which is needed. Let me say that again. It's the amount allowed beyond that which is needed. It's something held in reserve for unanticipated situations. That emergency fund is a financial healthy margin, right? But we're talking personally, emotionally, spiritually here. Margin is the gap between rest and exhaustion, the space between breathing freely and suffocating. Margin is the opposite of overload. It's rare to see someone pre-schedule their life and their day. Okay, only 80%. Only 80%, you know, to allow that possibility that maybe God is going to move in my life today. You know, not just a little chasing a butterfly up into the woods, you know, like some little puppy. But God may bring something into my day, your day, if we allow that margin in our schedule. That makes perfect sense, doesn't it? So that's one. We need to change from all that overextended overdoing. Two, we need to limit distractions. Here's a few quotes. If you've never had any distractions, then you don't know how to pray. Yeah. We got one chuckle, but that's, you know, if you think about that. Yeah, we all get distracted in our prayers. And Tony La Russa, this last one. There are always distractions if you allow them. You can hear that tough manager saying, you know what? You're too distracted out there. You can't hit the ball and you can't throw or catch. Come on. So limiting distractions. Justin Early, he writes how to practice the presence of God at work. You know, how many of you that are working, you know, many hours, or you're at school, and you know, how would you possibly practice the presence there? People are going to think you're weird, or they're going to fire you or send you to the principal's office. Well, he says this: avoid distractions as a spiritual act of worship. You know, a discipline he's working toward. But he says this: distraction removes us from working in love and pushes us into working from numbness, absence, annoyance. And what are the biggest things that distract you, even at work or at home? I've got my pet peeves. What do you have? You know, I know what distracts Lisa. Sorry, honey. Our own family, we usually know what distracts, you know. For me, I know it's the Masters golf tournament. It's on at 1. So just, I got the TV at 1, honey, okay? All right. Point taken, right? But our smartphone, Gmail, text chain, social alerts, they're just reducing our, not just productivity, but our presence to what's going on. There might be something going on that we need to be attending to. It reduces our capacity for sustained attention. And he says, fracturing our presence. You know, how can we love someone deeply when we're distracted and not fully attentive? Avoid distractions as a spiritual act of worship. Well, if we limit those distractions, we will be attentive to God and others. So let's, you know, what are a few spiritual disciplines to discern and practice the presence of God? A couple quick ones, and I want to share a story. A testimony just from yesterday. But first is recognize God's presence all day long. And as you do, offer arrow prayers, thanking God for, as you're walking, as you're in the woods, as you're shoveling manure from the backyard, from the dog, or, you know, or cleaning the cat box, or making dinner, or, you know, having a hard day. Even in grief, and those who may be watching this, if you're in quarantine, if you're listening, you know, even there, it's an opportunity to acknowledge God and acknowledge His presence. I love you, Lord. You know, good morning, Father. That's Brother Glenn's prayer. He's taught us well, the confirmands, and many of us. May I love you and serve you and others today. Even in this quarantine, in my room, even isolated, even on this hard day, even on virtual schooling, or I'm the teacher on this virtual school, you know, I'm going to serve you and others, Lord. Where would I be without you, Lord? You know, this is difficult, but I know you are with me. And secondly is every encounter, seeing every person
as one who's created in the image and likeness of God. They have great value, everyone we encounter, through the lens of God's grace. Realize, you know, you never meet someone randomly or by accident. God can magnify a small deed, a kind word in another's life. Seek to respond to God's initiatives every day. You know, you've built in that margin and respond. There are so many opportunities. I miss so many of them, and some I see, and I still am not obedient. Lord, forgive me. For each person you meet, assume that God is working within them as He's working in you. And then pray, Lord, is there some way I can share the love of Christ, the love of God and Christ with them? And that's not weird at all. You don't have to pray it out loud. That might scare them off. But just in your own mind, just praying that. And the third spiritual discipline goes right along with that. Make the most of every opportunity. Colossians 4:5 is about redeeming the time, God's time, not chronological chronos, but kairos, God's time. Following Jesus' example by being available no matter how busy you are to make the most of the opportunities God gives. Saying, here am I, Lord. How can I help? Remember, you are the Lord's answer for a hurting, lost, wounded world. You and I are the answer. This is the plan. This is the strategy. We need God's presence as He leads and guides us. So we need to monitor our thought life as four. And Rachel did a great job with the kids, including Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. You know, use this verse to help you monitor your thought patterns, paying special attention to moments when your mind tends to drift or go in neutral, or when you're about ready to complain. You know, Lord, help me. Think about whatever is pure and honorable, right. We can ask God to use that scripture to draw our thoughts heavenward, to set our mind on things above, on Him, and things that delight Him, and memorize it. Philippians 4:8, James 4:8, a couple 4:8s, Philippians and James. Daryl Bishop memorizes scripture daily. He works on it. He shares a little nugget on Thursday nights. He did that for Alpha every week too. It's a good practice, daily putting scripture to memory. Help us monitor our thought life. In James 4:8, it says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. It's His promise. And may this drawing near, as we develop these habits of discerning God's presence, may we recognize His presence each and every day, all throughout the day, not just in the glorious, you know, sunsets and sunrises, but all the time for all of us. Ask God to open up your spiritual eyes. I've been praying that for myself, and God has been showing up in different ways. As I close my eyes, and even, you know, in people and things I see, and He will do that for you if you ask and you expect it. To experience, you know, ask Him to experience what He is doing, to see what He is doing, so much so that even the ordinary, the mundane things become extraordinary because they're infused by the presence of God. And in His presence, there's fullness of joy. I'll close with this. Coming down the hill, coming down the hill yesterday morning, Saturday morning, it was very sunny up on top. But as I started coming down a third of the way down the hill, it was foggy. The fog was like rolling and lifting and falling. And I was, if you know where we live in Walnut Hill, there's a little curve just before the Mortons. And the sun was just beaming right through this fog that was kind of, you know, it was penetrating the fog. And I thought the Lord is showing me something. He's showing me His glory. He said, this is like my glory coming down, you know, raining down upon His people, His presence. And it was just amazing. I was praising God. I was praying for revival, renewal, healing. There were people on my mind. It was a flash. It was an instant. I was still driving, but it was just worshiping. I think I had tears in my eyes. It was an amazing presence of Almighty God, and I thank Him for that. His holiness, His glory, it's coming. Maybe even here now. May it fall upon us. Amen. We're going to take a little shift and just sing something now, something we sang earlier.
Father God, we come before You this morning. We give You thanks and praise that we are able to come forward and still to give to You, to share our tithes and offerings with You this morning. Our song, Who Am I? Who am I? I'm a child of God. We are children of God. We continue to worship and praise You. We continue to come forward. Like Elsie, we keep coming forward. Keep trying. We thank and praise You this day for being able to give back. Such a blessing, Father. We thank You this day. In Your name we pray. Amen.
Lord bless you. May he look upon you and you see him looking upon you with love and mercy and grace. And may his spirit just fill you to overflowing. And may he take your hand as he did Gary's and lead us to where we should go, into unknown places, to bring healing, deliverance, and the love of God. Amen.